Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette, and I'm with Mission East Africa, Uganda. My wife and I are missionaries here in the Kampala area. It's been our real privilege to serve the Ugandan church, to bring the gospel to the people of Uganda for many years now, and it's by His grace that we are able to meet once again together today in the study and preaching of the Word of God. May God richly bless this teaching and preaching time to our hearts, dear friend. May He bless you in His marvelous grace. Today, we're looking at Ephesians 5, verse 21, which says in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen. And so, my friends, by His marvelous grace, we continue in our verse-by-verse exposition of this glorious book of Ephesians. And I trust that God is blessing you, filling your heart with truth and grace as you receive the Word of God in these weekly teachings. May God bless you powerfully and abundantly, dear friend, by His powerful, gracious Word. Our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry. We call it Mission East Africa, Uganda, at www.missionafricajk.net. That's www.missionafricajk.net. My friends, I ask that you remember to pray often for ABC Radio and for our dear friends who serve the Lord in ministry here at ABC Radio. Pray often for Max and Collins as they minister so freely, so lovingly, so kindly and fully through this great work that God has brought about the ministry of ABC Radio. I would ask, too, that you often pray for African Bible University, this wonderful institution that God has established in Uganda for the teaching of the treasures of God's Word. Indeed, His Word is our great and lasting treasure. His Word is forever settled in the heavens. All glory and praise to Him. And then this morning, too, I would ask that you pray for us often, for Jim and Kathy Robinette, as we seek to serve the Lord in the gospel ministry that He has ordained for us here in Uganda. Praise God. My friends, let us pray now. Father, we thank You again that we can meet with You in the ministry of the Word of God, and that by Your Spirit we trust that truth will once again fill our hearts, that we will be illuminated, that the light of the gospel will shine brightly in us at this time. Lord, that we will learn more about Christ. Most importantly, Lord, that we will meet with the crucified, risen Christ, with You, eternal Son of God, and that we will once again come into Your presence to worship You, to declare Your great worth, absolute and infinite value, that You are eternally all-glorious, all-worthy God, and that we will be changed by our meeting with You, Lord. Thank You for Your precious thoughts given to us in the Scripture. And so we pray that Your thoughts would be blessed to our hearts and that the mind of Christ would dwell in us richly during this time, and that You would be glorified in all of these things. Worthy are You, Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, for the sake of context, let us read in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 17 through 21. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 21, our focus today, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, in context, we see that we are given clear application in light of the glorious gospel that's revealed in this book. We are to take action, godly action. We are to be obedient. We are to be good disciples, well-trained, rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And we are to be obedient children to our great God and Father, the everlasting Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are obedient and well-pleasing to Him when we do obey Him and obey His Word. His thoughts are in our hearts and minds. We are concerned about His will. We remember His will, His Word, and we then obey Him. That is God's desire for us, and that is our blessing. It is our blessing. It is our true good to obey God. And so, my friends, we are blessed. We experience goodness as we follow Him in loving obedience. And as we are in submission, first of all, to Him, and then to those that He has placed in authority over us. Verse 21 begins a section of verses in which the apostle deals with the issue of authority and submission in the marriage relationship and in the family. In other parts of the Bible, Paul talks about submission in slightly different terms, but the teaching, of course, is consistent from book to book. For instance, we think of his glorious book of Romans, Romans chapter 13, and there we find that we are to be in submission to the civil authorities that God has ordained to be over us as believers. Here, the real focus is upon submission to the authority that's ordained in the family. Praise God. And so, as we begin this section of verses this morning, I believe it's helpful for us to simply define a few terms. Though the word authority is not found in verse 21, we find that the word submitting to is. And so let's first of all define authority, because submitting to or submission involves a response, an obedient, godly response to authority. And the Bible uses the word authority quite often. Here in Greek, in the New Testament, the word authority is found to be exousia. It's a word that means simply ability, capacity, jurisdiction, delegated influence, power, right, or strength. And so our English translation authority is simply a word that means these things, and it really means simply the lawful right to enforce obedience. Those in authority are given a God-ordained or God-appointed authority, the right, the lawful, good right to enforce obedience. And this comes about as there is submission to obedience. And let's define this word submission. It's the Greek word hupotasso, and it means simply to subordinate, to obey, to be under obedience, put under subjection. And so our English word submission, again, can be easily, rightly defined as meaning humble obedience to another's will. Praise God. So we are speaking about authority, the lawful right to enforce obedience, and submission, the humble obedience to another's will, to the will of those in authority over one. Praise God. And so, let's now look at verses in the Bible which use these words to get a fuller, better picture of the teaching, the concept of biblical authority, and the concept, the teaching of biblical submission. And we'll quickly turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew. And there we're going to find in Matthew chapter 8, verse 9, that the Lord speaks of a man being under authority. Matthew 8, 9, "For I am a man under authority." And the verse continues, "having authority over others." And so let me quickly turn there. Matthew chapter 8, turn there with me in your Bibles as you are able to. This is the story of a remarkable and great healing that the blessed Lord Jesus Christ brought about. Praise His name. Matthew 8, 9. And so here we find that a Roman centurion has a servant who is very much in poor health. He is sick. He is, in fact, at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented, verse 6 says. And so this man is not in a good condition. He is very, very ill. And so it is that the centurion comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes, verse 5 tells us of Matthew 8, pleading with Jesus. He had heard about the power of the man Jesus Christ to heal, and he comes begging Jesus to heal his servant who is not with him but is at home. The centurion, a Roman soldier, a commander over others, has traveled to the Lord, and the Lord says to him in verse 7, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replies to the Lord in verse 8, simply that it's not necessary that the Lord goes to heal him, but he says this, and Jesus says that this is a reflection of a great faith in verse 10. He says in verse 8, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." In verse 9, "For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And so the centurion is simply telling the Lord here that he humbly understands that he is not deserving of this blessing of a healing for his servant. Jesus says that this man is trusting him. He has come to see that he is not worthy. He has come to see his sinfulness. But he does trust the Lord for his saving grace. He is forgiven. He's a saved man. He has great faith. And he is also a man who believes that Jesus is able to heal his servant, dreadfully tormented, by not going to him, but by simply speaking a word of healing. In other words, if the Lord will only say that he shall be healed, the centurion believes with all of his heart that his servant indeed shall be healed. And notice in verse 9, and this relates to our discussion here about authority and submission, that he says, in reference to the Lord's authority, "For I also," notice the word "also," he recognizes the authority of Christ, and he recognizes Christ's authority to heal. And he recognizes and understands Christ's authority. That's why he has come to him humbly in obedience to Christ's authority. And he says there that he is a man of authority. He has authority over soldiers, and he commands them. He is authorized to command them. He has a lawful right to enforce obedience. And they do as they are commanded. They are in submission, humbly obedient to his will, in his authority, and they indeed obey him. They do as he commands them to do. Now, again, this is an appointed position. He has been appointed and given this authority to command, and those under him submit to his appointed authority. Now, again, the conclusion of this story is that the Lord says in verse 10, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." He's speaking there of the fact that he did not see Jews who believed as this Gentile Roman centurion does. And he says then in verse 11 that many will come from the Gentile peoples, from the east and the west, and many Gentiles will come to believe in him and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He then continues in verse 12 in the story to say that the sons of the kingdom, a reference to the Jews, will be cast out into outer darkness. Unbelief was the characteristic of the Jews then, as it remains today for the most part, though it's said that there is a great working of the Spirit of Christ amongst Jews so that many are coming to faith in Christ in our time and this generation. And that's a wonderful blessing, a wonderful fulfillment of Scripture. He says that the lost, the Jews who are lost, who won't believe in him, will be punished with weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he says to the centurion, simply after declaring this statement of his faith, "Go your way." Here is the word that the centurion was waiting and longing to hear. "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you." And it says there that the centurion's servant was healed that same hour. And so he, a man under authority, under his superiors, and yet over those under his authority, we could say under his inferiors, not in terms of their value, but simply in terms of this subordination to authority. And so this man understands authority and requests from Christ, the God who has all authority, for healing, and is granted his request. He had trusted Christ. His prayer is answered. He is a believing man. And so we see this wonderful story of authority and submission here in the healing of the servant. And so that gives us an idea, a fuller picture of what authority and submission looks like, what it is to be like. And again, as we continue in Ephesians 5, we're going to see this authority structure, this subordination, and that's a very wonderful biblical word, by the way, as is submission, as is the word authority. We're going to see how this is to work out for the blessing of good that is to come to a family. That's what God desires. And a family that is structured and that really lives in godliness in this respect of authority and submission finds the good and blessing of God. This is indeed the will of God. And so we find also, my friends, in other verses in the Bible, these truths about authority. It says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, the Lord speaking that there are those who exercise great authority upon others. And we find in Matthew chapter 21, in verses 24 and 27, he says, he is asked, "By what authority do you do these things?" Again, the great workings, his miracles. And then the response of the Lord in verse 27 of Matthew 21 is that he had asked them a question which they refused to answer about the baptism of John, if indeed John was working by the Spirit of grace. They refused to answer, and so the Lord replies there that he will not answer their question about the authority in which he does these things. But the point there that we're getting at in Matthew chapter 21 is that the Jews, the Jewish leaders, required of Christ a statement of how he was authorized, that is, what was his lawful right to do these things and to teach the spiritual truths that he was teaching. Again, they didn't believe in him, and by nature of unbelief, they didn't recognize that his Father had authorized him. And so the Lord's response to this line of questioning, this darkness, this unbelief, this denial of his obvious God-given authority. In fact, it's amazing because the blind man who was healed, who was brought before the Jewish authorities and cross-examined and questioned and eventually excommunicated from the temple, from the Jewish religion, was a simple man. He had been ill for many, many years. If I remember correctly, it was 38 years. But with a simple faith, he clearly observed and recognized and stated that the Lord Jesus Christ obviously had been given authority by God to heal him. This man of faith recognized the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had experienced the blessing, the powerful working, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal him. And yet the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish religion, did not believe in Jesus, did not recognize his authority, and so they questioned him with an intention to entangle him in his talk, as another verse in the Bible says. In other words, they wanted to know from him what right he had to do this. And so the Lord's reply simply at another place is that the authority that he has, given by God to heal, to do these great miracles, even raising the dead, obviously is seen in the very works themselves, just as the blind man who was healed had rightly noted. In other words, Christ was given authority. He had the lawful right to heal. He had the lawful right to teach. He had the lawful right to require obedience. And wonderfully, he had the lawful right from his Father to forgive sins. The Son of Man came to forgive sins. Praise God. And so, wonderfully, in the gospel, God calls people, he calls sinners to come under the authority of Christ, to recognize him as the authorized person he is, the eternal Son of God, who has lawful right to command us and has lawful right to enforce obedience. Now, those in authority have the ability to command obedience, but they also have the ability in their authority to enforce obedience, meaning that when their authority is rejected, they are also authorized to punish disobedience. Those in authority are given in their authority the right to reward obedience and to punish disobedience. Praise God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has ultimate authority because he is the eternal Son of God. So again, we're just getting a better understanding of what the Bible teaches us about authority. Again, in Mark chapter 10, the Lord speaks about the great people, those who are in positions of great authority, and how they exercise authority upon others in Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Let me turn there quickly and let us just look at this example, Mark 10, 42, to get a good picture of what authority means. And so here in verse 41, we find that the word says, "And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John." And then we're going to look at verse 42 in just a moment. But in context, the story here is that James and John, two of the Lord's disciples, ask of him that they desire the blessing of being able to sit at his right hand and at his left hand in glory. In other words, they recognize he is the Messiah, the promised king and deliverer of the Jews. And they recognize that in his kingdom, he would reign as a king upon the throne with all authority. Remember, the Lord declares in the New Testament, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. The apostles recognize that this is going to take place, and so they desire to be near him at his right hand and at his left in this great nearness to him in his authority, which means one and the same as to share in his authority and this nearness to him in glory. They want to be in these great positions and to share in this awesome authority that he has. And the Lord replies to them in verse 38 that they don't really understand what they're asking for. That as the Messiah, he shall ascend to the throne of God because he will be obedient to his Father unto death. He will drink the cup of suffering. He will die for his people. He will be baptized in his blood, if you will. He will die upon the cross and then will ascend to this great position of authority, the Redeemer King. And so Jesus asked them if they desire to share in his ultimate and coming authority, are they able to drink this cup of suffering and to be baptized in blood as he will be? Will they also share with him in this? And so in verse 39, unknowingly they say, we are able. And then Jesus replies to them that they will indeed drink the cup, they will suffer for his name's sake, and they shall suffer a baptism of suffering with him. James was martyred. John died in exile upon the island of Patmos under extreme persecution. But he says in verse 40, to sit on my right hand and on my left in these positions of highest authority for the redeemed is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is appointed. In other words, as the Messiah, Jesus is recognizing and stating that the Father, God Almighty, the Father, God, is in authority in this respect to determine the places where the redeemed will sit and share in the authority of Christ. Remember the promise, the reward is that the redeemed, the faithful, will also join in with Christ in glory and will have some measure of nearness to him, a reward for their faithful obedience and service. Those who have been more obedient, those who have been more faithful, will be blessed by God with a nearness to him. Those who have been more faithful and more obedient and served him very well in service will also be blessed with positions of authority in the new heavens and in the new earth. And so James and John have learned this, they recognize this, and of course they desire the best place. And they desire the closeness, the nearest possible place to Jesus, and they desire the best position of authority with Jesus. But the Lord responds again as the mediator that this is the Father's appointment. As the mediator, he knows the Father's will, but it is the Father who will appoint the redeemed to these places at the right hand and left hand of Christ and to these places of corresponding authority in glory. Praise God. And so now, again, after the other 10 disciples hear this in verse 41, they are greatly displeased with James and John. Perhaps they're even indignant. Perhaps they are a bit covetous, perhaps even jealous that these two men would declare so openly to the Lord this desire in their hearts to be above others, to be so close to Jesus, even to the exclusion of the closeness that the others might have to him. And then Jesus calls them all to him, and he says there in verse 42, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." And verse 43, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, in these words of Christ, in this story, we have a great picture of authority and submission. Jesus tells us that the great men in positions of high authority in the world are men who lord it over others. In other words, they exercise their authority with a great strictness and oftentimes a great harshness over others. But Jesus says that in the kingdom of God, it is not to be so. He says that greatness in the kingdom of God is determined by humble service, not by lording it over others. Now, to lord it over others also connotes the idea that a person exercises such extreme authority over others that he would play the Lord. And so, rather for James and John or for the other 10 to play the Lord and be in extreme authority with great power and simply command people to serve them as slaves, he calls them to just the opposite. He calls them to be slaves or servants of all. And he says, greatness in the kingdom is measured by your lowliness and by your selfless service to others. This will be rewarded with positions of nearness and authority in heaven. And so he says, this is how he, the Son of Man, has come, having all authority, but coming as a slave to serve, to lay down his life, a ransom for many. And so again, whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. And so in God's reckoning, authority and nearness to Christ is a blessing enjoyed by those who are the slaves or servants of others, not to those in the church who lord it over others. Well, friends, our time is more than gone. I've gone long today, but let us pray. Father in heaven, help us to understand these great truths and to understand authority and submission. And we thank you for today's teaching. God, we have much to learn. Teach us and have your glory in this and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.